You're listening to Transform Squadron, a podcast by ZoneBase.org, a site about robots, monsters, and misadventure. This is the December 2019 edition of the show, and my name is Rob.
Calling Monster Island, calling Monster Island, come in, meet you.
Hey, thanks for coming back for another month. It's December, meaning it's Christmas time, and like you, probably like you, I'm balancing, you know, my work life, my home life, and now the hustle and bustle of Christmas shopping in making for a pretty hectic month. But it looks like a pretty exciting month as things are going on. You know, before I get to the so-and-so meat and potatoes of the show this month, I got a few things I want to talk about. And full disclosure, I'm recording this month's episode in and out of sequence because I'm currently sitting, it's Monday, December 9th as I'm recording this. I don't know when it'll go up, when you'll listen to it, but I'm waiting for the new Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer to go live. Allegedly, it's going to go up at 9 o'clock. It's currently 8:20. So I'm going to be doing some pausing in the recording here and there. But the first thing I wanted to talk about, and I don't need to pause the recording before I get to this, is King Kong versus Godzilla, the upcoming, fourth entry into Legendary's MonsterVerse, you know, film universe or whatever, the Legendary Pictures Godzilla series. It was supposed to come out in March here in 2020, but got delayed back to November 2020, which is a bummer because that's pretty much a year later. You know, I know not exactly, you know, so there's going to be one guy, well, you know, it's more like 9 months. But it's like, yeah, you're afraid to go outside. It's about a year, and that's a long time to wait. And my opinion to why that is, and probably the most realistic, because they haven't said anything. They just said movies come out in November as opposed to March, you know. My guess would be because, well, as great as the last movie, Godzilla King of the Monsters, was, it underperformed. It didn't make as much as they wanted it to make. So they're probably employing the same trick that Disney did with Star Wars after Solo didn't make as much money as they wanted it to. And same with Paramount after Transformers Last Night, you know, underperformed. And that is, hold it off a little bit. Bumblebee was supposed to come out in like, what, summer 2018? It came out at Christmas, you know. Solo was the beginning of Star Wars movies getting back to summertime releases, and, well, look at that. It's back to a Christmas time release for the next Star Wars movie, and they're going to let it breathe for a few years, just like they're doing with Bumblebee, you know. Whenever the next Transformers movie will be, it'll be a few years away, you know. What they're doing is letting it breathe a little, let that memory of the other one kind of slide from public consciousness. You know, a year and a half, you know, that's might as well be 2 years in most people's minds. You know, we're talking about the casual audience, you know, so it kind of lets them forget a little bit about that last movie, you know. So here it is, fresh and new, looks all fresh and new. I mean, you guys remember how Bumblebee was a breath of fresh air when it came out, you know, when they're showing those trailers. And those trailers were a little over a year after the last movie just kind of farted and went away, you know. And then with Solo, you know, they did their media blitz and everything, and it just kind of vanished. And now we're getting the media blitz for this new one, you know. Not to mention, you know, you got the Mandalorian. I'm loving it. Everyone's loving it. You can see it's more people are talking about it than anything else currently online, because for good reason, it's a great show, and who doesn't love that little Yoda baby, you know? Now this new Star Wars comes out at a great time, you know. Little things like that. So I'm thinking they're letting it breathe a little. Just give a little space for it to bring it back up. Ta-da! Everyone's forgot, you know? And it's true. Things like that, it just works. It's simple marketing. Just kind of don't say, it's just how you do things in real life. You ever say a bad joke and it just kind of hits the ground and there you are standing there like, And what do you do before you say another joke? You wait a little bit, don't you? Well, most normal people anyway. You get that same guy who, you know, well, actually, they'll just keep on going and wonder why no one's talking to them. Well, we muted you on social media, buddy. But, you know, I think that's part of the reason. And another is fine-tuning, you know, maybe, okay, what can we do to make this better? You know, let's make this movie better. This thing costed a fortune to make. We don't want to waste it, you know, so they're obviously doing some more work on it. Last night, yesterday, as part of some Warner Brothers doing the distribution for Legendary Pictures, they had some sort of media package come out which showed off various trailers and sneak peeks at upcoming movies. And included in that was exactly 1 second of second. What is that? Second of footage from the movie, which, you know, a second is, you know, that's nothing, right? But it was something. And in this footage was a spoiler alert. it's a second of a movie you'll see 1,000 times over the next month. King Kong's face basically roaring and a bat. A shot from a little bit back, obviously a dramatic shot of him punching Godzilla, you know, and looks like they were on something, maybe an aircraft carrier, maybe an island or whatever. It was a far enough back of a way. The shot may not even be in the movie. Just might be something done for the marketing, you know, just when these odd little, you know, the click, click, boom starts up and the guy's like, yeah, I'm going down, down, yeah, click, click, boom. And they show like King Kong punching Godzilla and it's never in the movie. Probably, yeah, it could be like that. Does that song even have a name? Or is it just action movie trailer song? But it looked cool. For those of you who are in question, and if you're in any sort of kaiju group or whatever, it has been a subject that's really went on for too long about how would Kong be a match for Godzilla, because in the legendary... the MonsterVerse cinematic universe, Godzilla is freaking huge, while King Kong was a giant, but nowhere near as big. But it's like, well, if you watch Skull Island, it outright is addressed that he was still young and still growing, and that movie took place in, like, the 70s. And this movie takes place in, 2020, like 40 years later. You know, he's grown, you know, so obviously that would be a factor there. Not to mention just go with it. You know, not everything has to be a wiki article, you know. Sometimes just go with it. And it's a movie about a giant fire-breathing lizard dinosaur thing fighting a giant gorilla. Reality is just going to have to take a back door at some point, you know. I still remember when in 98 when I was in college, and the Matthew Broderick Godzilla movie came out, and people kept going on and on and on about how unrealistic the taxi segment was. That was in the last act of the movie, the scene where the main characters are escaping from Godzilla in a taxi driving down the highway while he's chasing them. That's the breaking point. You got a whole movie where this giant lizard monster is running around a city causing mayhem. That taxi taking a lot of abuse is the breaking point of reality. You know, you got to just kind of accept that I'm not watching reality right now. pardon me. That cough was holding into me for a minute there. And I tried to get away from the mic as soon as I could. Sorry about that. But, you know, you watch people say, like, I remember when I was a teenager. In my teens, And turning back around to Star Wars here for a minute, I don't even know why these people kept coming over for like a good week. My dad was a supervisor at a plant, and this employee of his kept coming over. I think dad was doing something for him or whatever, like working on his car for him or whatever. I can't remember exactly why the guy kept coming over, and he brought his, would bring his old lady with him. I don't know if she was his wife or his girlfriend or what, but he'd bring his partner with him, and she would be inside with us while dad was doing whatever. It was kind of trashy, you know, not in a gross way or whatever thing, but you know, the kind of person you would rather not be around for a lot, even as what, 17-year-old, I was like, good Lord, just people. And, I remember they showed some commercial for some spaceship show, and my brother and I were like, oh, cool. And she's like, oh, come on. You gotta be kidding me. You got me making me think that thing can fly in space. It's like that Star Wars, totally unrealistic. And we were like, you mean the show about the wizard with the laser sword moving his hand and things floating around is unrealistic? Wow. Yeah, you are a smart cookie there. You know? But of course the idea of a spaceship is unrealistic at a time where, yeah, how many space shuttles have we seen footage of by now, idiot? I got the feeling that might be possible. Whatever. But so, you know, a lot of people, I've seen some like, well, it's not realistic that he could grow with that much in 40 years. None of this is realistic. It's fantasy, man. There's even a layer of possible magicness to this, you know, magic. You know, this is not, watch this stupid movie. Maybe King Kong grew twice the size in 40 years. I knew I grew a few inches in a few years from teenagerdom to like 20s. Yeah, I was maybe a foot or more shorter, you know, and I'm a human. We kind of top off at a certain height, you know. So now I'm only like 20 feet when I was like 13 feet when I was 10. You know, I'm kidding. But yeah. Oh, so there's this misconception about nerds, and sometimes there's just things they are completely always off about, man. But anyway, it's a bummer that the movie's been held back so long. But I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm not going to even lie. It might be for the best that gets pushed back. You know, Skull Island came out in March in 2017. Power Rangers, that movie came out in March 2017. Toylana happens in March, you know, every year. There's only so much an adult can do in a month, you know, outside of his normal life. So having that push back to Christmas time, where after this next Star Wars movie, The Rise of Skywalker, you know, that's going to be it for the Star Wars movies for a few years. They're going to let it breathe for a little bit before doing more movies. They've said so much. They're, you know, they got the TV shows and stuff on Disney Plus, which so far are great. You know, Mandalorian is a really good show, you know, but the movies are taking a break, so there won't be a new Star Wars next Christmas. I don't know what movie I'm going to be watching next Christmas. Ghostbusters comes out in summer next year, you know. So great. That's a movie for me to look forward to watching at Christmas. There's always a movie I look forward to watching at Christmas, you know, so that's perfect. You know, I'm a happy camper. I would like to watch the movie sooner than later, but if holding it back half a year makes for a better movie, I'm all up for it, you know. Now, I have the big subject of the show here that I actually held off so I could research it just a little more, because I kind of went in deciding after my encounter with it to do something and then realizing I didn't pay it as much attention as I should, like everything on it. And that's going to be the big subject of the show. I'm not even going to talk about that right now, because right now I'm fixing to talk about Ghostbusters Afterlife. Now, the trailer is set to launch in about 30 minutes. And I will be back in 30 minutes to record more after seeing the trailer. I'm super excited for Ghostbusters Afterlife, the upcoming Ghostbusters sequel, Ghostbusters Part 3, ignoring the reboot And I'll talk about that more here in just a minute. But as far as you know, it'll just be a little clip of a second. But I'll be back in just a minute to speak about that movie. Okay, so I'm back. And I think I've just watched a trailer 5,000 times in the span of 30 minutes. Like, I watched it on my phone, and then I opened up the YouTube app on my TV and watched it there, and then watched it there again, then watched it on my phone again, and then I made a point to update the zone-based post from earlier today, and which was made in anticipation of this trailer. And then I watched it again, and 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 I am just all watching my language right now because I am so excited for this movie. I've been excited for it since it was announced. I've been excited for it since the last Ghostbusters movie. I've been excited for it. I'm not going to go into too many details in case you haven't seen the trailer yet. But it's kind of a step further than a teaser trailer. You guys know how movies go. They give you the sneak peeks as it comes along types of trailers. This kind of sets up a premise. It looks great. Looks absolutely great. It's a Jason Reitman, who is Ivan Reitman's son. If you watch Ghostbusters 2 at the first few minutes when Winston and Stance go to the kid's birthday party and they start chanting He-Man, we want He-Man. He was one of those little kids. He grew up to be a filmmaker, and he's, you know, director and stuff, a lot, usually independent movies. And however the chips rolled out, he wrote and made basically Ghostbusters 3, and this is it, you know, like a good 30 years after the last movie, you know, last of the original movies come out. We had that remake of sorts in 2016, which I still swear they should have made that a spin-off sequel where they were just opening a new franchise, and it probably would have fared better in a lot of people's mind. Ghostbusters is just one of those things people aren't as open to a reboot for. They'd like to see some sort of continuation, even if it's a new team or whatever. They don't want to see the old guys be just written off, you know. And, you know, that's what they're doing here. And it's basically, I'm once again not going too much into details, but the gist of the movie is, you know, a family moves into a farmhouse left to them by their grandfather and find cool stuff. And that's about as far as I'm going because I want you to see this trailer. It looks great. I am pure euphoria right now. I don't know how many more heart reactions I could have posted on all the Ghostbusters groups and pages I'm in. You know, of course you got your handful of bedwetters who magically are going to hate anything popular. Go, wow, what a surprise. You know, you can set your watch to it, but so far this thing has landed like fairy dust making your dreams come true with a lot of us, me included. I am super, super. I think I might have to pause this. Hang on. I can't get anything out other than how happy I am right now. Hold on. I've got to pause this. Hold on. Okay. I'm back. I calmed down for a little bit. I'm a 41-year-old man, and I was just reduced to a blibbering happy baby for the past 30 minutes watching this trailer. I'm super excited. It's no mystery how much I love Ghostbusters. I can't wait for this. I'm super excited. I've mentioned it before. I'll mention it again. I love Ghostbusters. This movie is in spirit Ghostbusters 3, not just in spirit, basically officially, as in the next in the storytelling canon from the original series, okay? And I'm super excited for it. I just said earlier why it's exciting a lot of people. God, this is going to be amazing. This is awesome. I'm so excited. Oh, wow. I You know, everyone's episode of a podcast, you know, every episode of a podcast is everyone's first episode, and everyone's first look at your website is their first, you know, I mean, for every look at your website, there's a first look, or if you do this kind of stuff online, so it's always someone's first time discovering the things you say and do. And my prior podcast, I think for several months in 2016, all for Ghostbusters, it was not made a mystery how excited I was for that new movie. And here, I'm even more excited for this. This is more in the lines of what I wanted to begin with. That wasn't crapping on the last movie at all. Just like I said, it's one of those things, I want a continuation of sorts, you know. It's Christmas time, and I guess nothing under that tree is going to live up to that. I'm kidding, of course. You know, there's a lot of love and heart that goes into presents from my wife and loved ones, you know. But, wow, I'm doing it again. Halloween, it's no mystery that Zone Base goes into overdrive in August for Halloween. And I usually make a point to make summer the prelude to Halloween by posting a lot of scary stuff or whatever. So much that this past summer, I made a point to reference it that summer is a spooky season, using those wording to be like, summer is a spooky season. And Ghostbusters comes out in summer. So this year, I was actually planning to, I've already made it. The banner for the site for spooky summer, you know, like, it's about to get scary till it's scary officially in Halloween. You know, it's like, summer is spooky. And, you know, this just adds icing to that cake for the new Ghostbusters movie. This is great. It's like right in the middle of freaking summer. You know, I'm assuming it's going to come out sometime in July. I don't care. I'm there. And, man, it's going to be like the highlight, I think, of the summer spookiness going in, you know. I got to pause this thing again. Give me a second, guys. It'll be like a second for you guys, so y'all won't notice, but I need a minute. Oh, man. Okay, I'm back. I'm calming down. I'm going to calm down. I'm making myself calm down. I hold on a second. Okay, this time I mean it. I'm going to be calm. I'm calming down. It's... Oh, okay, hold on. Woo, boy. Hold on. Okay, it's been like an hour. I need to calm down. I'm just getting ridiculous. Man. Okay, hold on a second. I'm going to make myself talk about something else right now, because it's been a while since that trailer, and this is getting ridiculous. I am... good. Hold on, I'll be right back. Okay, this time I mean it. Man. Good. This movie. So anyway, let's talk about something else. It is Christmas time. It's Christmas time, and I just got a huge present in form of a movie trailer. Rob, you told yourself you'd stop. Of course, stores have their big Christmas displays up with Christmas trees and dancing Santas and all sorts of things like the Ghostbusters, Rob. And I've seen this at Kroger so far, and so far only. I don't know if other stores have it or not. There's a Christmas display by Hasbro. It's one of those like cardboard stand-up displays or whatever, with festive Christmas pictures on them of Hasbro toys and characters enjoying Christmas. Like, there's a, I think it's a gingerbread house, like a Christmas scene. It's got the toys like Power Rangers and stuff. And there's a Optimus Prime in a Christmas sweater. It's funny. It's the first Masterpiece Optimus, I guess, MP01, even though I'm old school. I can't help but to see that 20 and not say 20th anniversary Optimus Prime, because that was its initial marketing and it was released first as such. So I always say, oh, 20th anniversary Optimus Prime when I see that, and go, oh yeah, Masterpiece. Cause like that toy came out in like 2003 4. And it wasn't until like 2006 we got another masterpiece. That's not true. I'm sorry. We got that Ultra Magnus repaint of it, as well as I think there was a Brave masterpiece in the meantime. But I think my point's made. That was pretty much it, you know, the 20th anniversary Prime. And even then, they're saying he goes along with your alternators. You know, it wasn't, masterpiece wasn't the thing it is now, as it was. But it's that toy with a Christmas sweater, and I'm like, put that out. I'd get that. I want that toy. Even if it's like Earthrise Optimus or Siege Optimus, both excellent Optimus toys with a Christmas sweater, I'd be down for it. But the display, it's in Kroger's Christmas section where they got like candy, obviously stuff to put, you know, decorations, obviously stuff to put in your stockings. And, you know, they got the various little small candy items, little displays of other stocking stuffer type things, because Kroger's on the reel here. They know you're going to buy a Nintendo Switch from like Best Buy or Amazon or something and give it to your kid. They know you're not going to the grocery store to buy Christmas presents. But much like stores like pharmacies and all that, they're like, hey, we got your stocking stuffers down, son. And they got an aisle with decorations, because every store has decorations at Christmas. Big bags of candy, little individual candy things. There's a new Star Wars movie fixing to release, so some of it's Star Wars themed. Like, they got little bags of Jelly Belly jelly beans with Star Wars on it, perfect for stockings, or just take one to you to the movie. I got one with Kylo Ren on it. You know, I'm going to buy popcorn and sodas at the movie theater, but a bag of those Jelly Bellies will be on me upon entering the theater to eat. did you guys see that Ghostbusters trailer? Rob. Anyway. And, you know, there's the little oddball stocking stuffer things. Well, Hasbro's stocking stuffer display has full of blind bag stuff. Perfect. Absolutely perfect for such a thing as a Christmas stocking. And last week, I went in and got super excited upon seeing it, because first I missed it. First, I completely missed it. I had we went into the store to buy some ice cream. And, you know, Kroger, or at least ours does, has all these displays of little things you can buy, of course, like little odd hair things, or they always have that box or two of Hot Wheels. And we went through the Hot Wheels to see if we could get the complete Christmas series collection. You know, we got the Halloween ones from the Halloween and stuff, or they always put a little numbered series out. They're inexpensive. They're like $1 a piece. You know, it's no problem to get like all six, you know. And we were going through and we found all but the last one that we needed. His name's Carburetor. And my wife said she's going to double back around, look in the toy section, see if they've got some more over there. And as I head toward her, giving up, like, well, I didn't see any at all in the two little cardboard stands, she's like, hey, did you see this? And they had this Hasbro thing completely covered up by other stuff. Like, I don't know if it's because they were setting it all out. I mean, last week was like the week after Thanksgiving, you know. I don't know if it's because they're still setting up or what, but Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer, calm down. And sorry. But they had the box up, and we went through, and they had, of course, a ton of blind bag things. And I went back this past week because after I got home, after buying like a good $30 worth of blind bag toys from this thing, realizing this would be perfect subject matter for my show, but also knowing coming back from a holiday weekend, I was going to be in kind of rough shape going into work. I was going to probably need another week to just kind of get back to myself, you know, because, you know, holiday weeks are great. They really kind of throw you off your normal schedule, you know, and I said it a million times, I work overnight, that little deviations, you know, have to really throw me off really bad. So I really needed last week to get straightened up. And while I was there thinking about it, it's like, that would be the perfect thing to talk about here on the show, but I want to go back and see what all they had on there, because I didn't take the best mental inventory of what they had. So I actually went back yesterday. Yesterday was Sunday. Today's Monday. And I bought some more things from it. Shut up. And I took pictures so I could have a mental inventory of what they have. Hold on one second. Ghostbusters 3. Excuse me. Whew, coughing fit. But I got away from the mic in time. I hope you guys didn't hear me coughing or anything. But I looked at the display, took some pictures so I can have a nice inventory of what they all have. And it's a cool setup. What you have is, or at least what I had at my store, was the box. And it had the picture I described earlier on the front. And on the sides was little openings where they'd have, it was basically, you know, shelves full of different blind bag toys. One side had Littlest Pet Shop blind bag series. Had Ugly Dolls, which I didn't know had blind bag toys. I don't know much about Ugly Dolls, you know, other than I've seen them here or there. I think they had a movie come out or something. Yeah, that's about all I know about those guys. They had, I keep wanting to say My Little Pony, but they didn't have My Little Pony in it whatsoever. I think that's kind of sailing away from the blind bags or whatever. When I go to Dollar Tree, I see the figures that used to be in My Little Pony blind bags on regular cards there. So I think they've kind of, or at least for the moment, aren't focused on blind bags for those, but had Beyblades, which is something I've always kind of kept a very super casual eye on. When Beyblade first was getting released here in the States, it was around the same time as the original Robots in Disguise was coming out. And I was a little overwhelmed with that, but I was super paying attention to it. Like, wow, those look neat. And every once in a while, I'll see a Beyblade here or there and be like, wow, those are kind of neat. You know, it's not really my thing, but those are neat. And everyone knows I love blind bags. So seeing them in blind bags, I'm like, okay, you're really starting to appeal to me now. You know, a little, I'm not going to play this game, but little different looking tops and blind bags, that's just neat enough to maybe splurge on one or two here and there. I guess it was in October last time I was at H Mart. Super H Mart. They always have the little store to decide when you first walk in with various things like clothes and whatever. And I always kind of poke around there, see what they have. You know, it's like 1,000 cell phone cases or whatever. And they had, sometimes they have toys. They had Transformers animated, like drawstring backpacks, which I should have got one. They probably weren't licensed, but who cares? But they also had Beyblades, Takara versions of Beyblades sitting there. And I really looked through those for a minute. I wasn't really tempted to buy one because, like I said, it's kind of not really my thing, you know, but it was really cool seeing them in that Japanese packaging. You know, I was like, wow, this is neat. But, you know, back to the Christmas display, they had, you know, Beyblades there. But on the other side was the gold mine. Hear me out. They had Series 3 BotBots blind bags. Or blind packs. They had the Power Rangers Micro Morphers blind bags, which I've been buying a lot of. I should have bought some more there, but I just felt with these other things I haven't seen yet to hold off on those. Not to mention I keep getting the same guys over and over, so I wasn't too enthused to get another Red Ranger, you know. And they had the Play School blind bag Power Rangers figures, which I haven't seen at all. I've been actually getting upset that I haven't seen these guys. Other people have been finding them and I have not. So I totally grabbed a few of those. I actually grabbed another one yesterday. By the way, those are great little figures. They're little PVC figures. They got basic articulation in the arms, you know. The toy's like $2-3. It's not going to be, you know, 1,000 points of articulation. You might as well forget that. Great little figures. They're along the lines of the Imaginext Power Rangers, which I loved quite a bit. The articulation's not as, the Imaginext had about a 5.5 going on as far as articulation goes. These guys have basically arms and head. I don't know if the fancier ones that come in more expensive packaging will have more. I haven't got any of those yet. I've seen the Megazord one, and I see the ones coming with little Zords to ride on, and I haven't really took them a good look at the figure, see if they have more articulation or not. Play School Heroes figures tend to be more put in a pose like a PVC figurine with a little articulation thrown in as opposed to tiny little action figures like the Imaginext ones were. But I'm not complaining. These are a little more stylized. Got more of a, they got a look to them. Like if you pick up a Play School Marvel figure, you can see the definitive look it has. It's fun. It's got a little specific look to it, and these Rangers have that too. They almost look like, they make me think of Beautiful Joe, if you remember that game series. They make me think of those characters and their visual look or whatever, and that's, I think, my best way of describing them. But they had those there, as well as the Micromorphers, which are a really good line of little Keshi-style blind bag figures, and I encourage you to get them if you're into such things. They come in baggies with two figures, or you can get a blind box where it comes with a Megazord and two figures. These were the little baggies. I enjoy buying them more. Not that I don't like the Megazord or anything. Just something about those little baggies full of tiny little figures, you know. They also had, along the lines of those Play School Rangers, the Play School Rescue Bot figurines. They had Series 1 in mind, so I didn't pay it as much attention because those have been kind of sitting around for a while. But if you're into such things as blind bags, minifigures, PVC figurines, and Transformers, these are a nice way to go. They're nice little figurines. Of course, they don't transform. There's always that one guy who's like, I don't understand Transformers that don't transform. It's like, well, if you're wearing an Autobot t-shirt, what does it transform into? Exactly. You know, you're buying a figurine. You're buying kind of a novelty item. And they're nice sculpts of the characters from Rescue Bots, whatever. Rescue Bots is one of those things I don't pay as super much attention to as other things. My mind can only go so many places, but I've always thought it was cool. I buy the occasional one because they make some pretty neat little toys. I really liked Medics, that Dinosaur Optimus Prime, that sort of thing. Occasionally I'll watch a cartoon. It's good stuff. It's been on for a while now. I think it's actually got the most episodes of any Transformers series. And that's saying something, you know. The line's been around for 35 years. So if you're going to down on it for being a toddler thing, go ahead. It's not really slowing its momentum down now, is it? But they're nice little figurines. They're really static though. So if you'd rather them be articulate or whatever, you're not really going to get that here, but they do look nice. They also had, and this is where I made an audible noise, Tiny Turbo Changers. I love Tiny Turbo Changers. They had some leftovers from the movies, but none of the Bumblebee waves, weirdly enough. I never once saw any of the Bumblebee series here, even with the Bumblebee movie last year having that really cool Transformer display at Target full of all sorts of things like, you know, t-shirts and cups and all that. Like, my wife got me the Tervis reusable drink thing. I think I got one or two of those, actually, the lunchbox. And it had all sorts of cool stuff, and it had the Tiny Turbo Changers in there from the last night, the last series of last night Tiny Turbo Changers, that they popped up there of all areas. But I never saw the Bumblebee ones, and that's sad. I really wish I would have. But another, they had a handful of those last night ones left, but they mainly had Cyberverse Tiny Turbo Changers, which I have been excited for and trying to find, you know, ever since they were announced. Like, when back around last night or whatever, I was like, I remember buying a one-step changer before they renamed the simple ones into Turbo Changers, saying, man, what if they made small one of these that were blind bags? And then, like, a few months later, they did. So I was like, okay, so I guess I'm psychic. And then I was saying, man, it'd be really great if these were, like, G1 type Transformers. You know, the world's smallest Transformers were G1 based, and they were blind packaged, and it just worked. It was a great line, you know. And I was like, you know, something like G1 toys generally weren't the most complicated transformations. And I think that's why they got away from saying one-step changer or three-step changer, because at the end of the day, it was like, there's usually a few more steps, as minute as they were. Turbo Changer, okay, it's simple, it's quick transformation. Bang. You know, it sells itself. It's a cooler name. So I was like, well, you know, like a little Turbo Changer, blind bag, simple figure, that'd be great. Like, just imagine I was thinking Prowl. I was thinking like one of those Fair Lady Z cars, you know, like Prowl or Smokescreen. And I was like, man, that would be great in something like that. And then they announced the Cyberverse ones. Cyberverse basically being super duper familiar to G1, being along the same idea, but just a little stylized to make it, you know, new and hip. And that works, because Tiny Turbo Changers, look, if you got a small little, and I'm going to say they're Keshi style, they transform, but a lot of Keshi have features like articulation, or there's a series of Kanookamen that, you get two different figures. You can put them together and they're doing wrestling moves on each other, that kind of thing. And so they're tiny little rubber figures. You got to have them a little stylized. You got to make them a little cute. You got to make them a little silly to make it work in that small, small form. Go look at Super 7's Keshi figures, and they have stuff like aliens, but they still just look a touch silly because you got to have that for that form factor, you know. And it works for tiny turbo changers. With the movie ones, it definitely worked because you got like walking bags of knives characters that, you know, they just look like walking bags of knives. And now it's 2 inches tall and rubber. You got to do something to kind of work with that design. So doing that with the Cyberverse designs was natural because they already got that stylization going on. So here I was like holding Prowl, the one I was thinking about a year or two ago prior. It's perfect. It works just perfect. You know, it's a little stylized Keshi Prowl. It's perfect. I love it. I got the whole series. I went through my checklist and we picked one of each out. If you go look at my Ghostbusters 3. If you go look at my Instagram at RoboRobSpringer, you'll see where last week I posted each one of them. They're great. Actually, on Zonebase, I did a follow-up post afterwards talking about them. This is a really great series. Some of them could be confused for MicroMasters, I think. You know, like, they're a little chunkier, admittedly. But they're, you know, they could almost be confused for MicroMasters, like in proportions and the way they look and stuff. It was a really great series, and I was like, man, I am so right. These work perfectly for little G1-looking robot dudes. Some of them are better than others. You know, that's how these things work. That's life. You know, you buy a series of blind bag, cute little rubber action figures. Some are going to be better than others. I found myself really liking Hot Rod, Prowl, Jetfire, Drift. A lot of those guys better. Soundwave is probably the one I liked least. And that's not crapping on him. It's still a good toy. Just he had a lot of parts to move around to transform. Maybe not a lot of parts, just his transformation, the way his head worked. I just felt like I was going to rip him apart by accident. You know, just I felt like he could have been a little bit better. Optimus and Megatron, they could have been a little bit better. But that's not crapping on them either, because they actually, Megatron's a really nice figure. It just, like I said, it's Megatron's a really plain-looking guy. That's one of the reasons I've always been really, really gung-ho for other versions of Megatron other than G1. And, you know, the Cyberverse Megatron is pretty much G1 Megatron with a different t-shirt on, you know. That plain gray just doesn't always, it needs something, you know. And that's why I like say, G2 Megatron with the camo. Man, it looks great, you know. Stuff like that. Optimus is Optimus. He doesn't have a mouth plate like a lot of Optimus toys don't. You know, they kind of either do or don't, whatever. He doesn't. I was thinking, looking at him, like, wow, when they do the obvious Ultra Magnus redo of this, it'll look great. It'll look just like him because of that head sculpt, you know, without the mouth plate and just the way it looks. But everything, I mean, I really like the Hot Rod. I wish he had more color on him. They're simple figures, so they only got like one or two colors. So if that sets you off, it's going to continue to set you off. But Hot Rod, I thought, was probably one of the best ones. He looked great, as well as Jetfire. Holding Jetfire, it's like when he transforms into his jet, and you know, it's a little hinky alt mode. You can see his little arms and legs underneath the jet, but he almost looks like he fell out of a Atari 7800 shooter game. Like I could see playing this jet in a video game from like the mid 80s. And maybe if I was in Japan and had an MSX computer, I would be playing that jet mode in a shooter game, you know, made by Konami or something. It just felt like that. It's such a great little figure. And that little design look from Cyberverse down to that little thing just works. I was so happy with them. But I implore you, you know, if you're into blind bags, you're into Transformers, you're into Power Rangers, maybe even Beyblade or Pet Shopper, Ugly Dolls, that display is awesome. Like I said, it's a cardboard display. It's got about maybe 6 shelves in it with different figures in it. when I went in there, they had some sort of sale going on. It was like 2 for $5 or whatever. And we always go to the self-checkout stations, you know. And twice the cashier, the helper person, whoever mans that thing, had to come and click okay or whatever because we were like overloading it doing it. Because like every so many, it would say like credit $5 or something, or however it does to add it up. Because like we had I think we bought like $60 worth of stuff, you know, like just, you know, we're at Kroger and we had a $25 gift card we used, whatever. So, you know, I think it was a good $25 worth of those little guys on their own. But I don't know if you get, you know, get your Kroger Plus card, go in there and empty that box out, you know, for prosperity. I want to go back. I was kind of pointing at it to the wife. I don't have any of these blind bag bots, you know, kind of giving her hints. And she was like, yeah, you do. I was like, not in the blind boxes. Oh, okay. And they had another thing to decide with odd little blind bag things. And they had the Ghostbusters ectoplasm tubes, which I've been going crazy for the past few months. Those are also, they're little Ghostbusters 3. Oh my God. Have you seen the trailer? Sorry. They're tubes of slime in different colors with a little Keshi mini Ghostbuster figure inside the slime. It looks like they've changed them to clear tubes. They were solid black tubes up till now. So now you can see the slime and kind of slosh around and see the figure in there, which makes it a little easier if you've got like 1,000 demon dogs or something. One tip to give you if you buy the ectoplasm tubes before you open it. Turn it upside down. It's a tube. Turn it upside down and stand it on its cap for a few minutes. Some of the slime colors are really sticky. Like the black slime was super sticky. Like you end up having to kind of wash these little figures off a little. Because usually with toy slime, you just kind of touch the rest of the slime to it and it takes it off. Not so much here. It was sticky. The black slime was like glue. And some of the other colors, it wasn't so bad. But just instead of pushing your finger down in this test tube full of slime and making tons of fart noises and laughing and can't get the stupid figure out. If you do that, the figure will just kind of sink on down to the bottom and he'll stay there for a minute while you open it up and he was right there on top. It makes it a whole lot easier, you know. That's another great little blind series. Well, it's time for me to close this one down. I've got a get some clothes on here and run to the post office and mail off some packages and check my P.O. box, see what's come in from various Christmas orders or whatnot, and just watch the Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer another 1,000 times and try not to make a mess of myself. Got a little emotional there. That was great. Thanks, everyone. Excuse me. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Transform Squadron is a podcast by ZoneBase.org. ZoneBase.org is a fan blog about robots, monsters, and misadventure, meaning fun stuff. So if you can check that out, it's at www.zonebase.org. And you can find me on Instagram at RoboRobSpringer. The podcast Transform Squadron is hosted on the .net network, tfradio.net. And while you're there, I'm sure Brian Kilby would really appreciate it if you checked out his Amazon links. Well, guys, hope everyone has a great Christmas and a great new year. And I'll see you guys, I guess, in 2020 for a whole nother new year. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Bye.
All right, let's go. Time is running out for the human race.